Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. Adam McManus, co-hosting with me. He's host of theworldview.com, the worldview view of the news that is presented on a daily basis from theworldview.com. You can also get it at the Generations app. Well, my friends, looks like the pro-life film got canceled at Amazon. That would have been just a few weeks ago. Babies are murdered here. That was the title of this documentary, or I'm sorry, Babies Are Still Murdered Here, released October 2019, just canceled by the cancel culture of Amazon. We've talked about the cancel culture constantly canceling. And here we have the most powerful instruments of the IT industry, the internet industry, that's going after Christian ministries. This is called persecution, not unlike what was happening at the Roman Empire in the first three centuries of the church, where Christians were backburnered and constantly persecuted by the systems. That's where we are today. So far, nobody thrown into the lion's den, nobody coated with oil and lidded as candles in Nero's garden as yet. But here we have Babies Are Murdered Here. Now, you know, I was doing some pro-life work about 2 to 3 years ago. We were out on the line, my family, myself, and others from our church, and we would bring these signs and hold these signs up in front of the abortuaries where babies are murdered in our particular nick of the woods. And we'd hold these signs. Most of our signs were, you know, we love your children. We will adopt your children. Please come speak with us, things like this. And then there was one sign. We decided to throw a little jalapeno into the mix and just put one sign in the middle of it all. And that sign was simply, babies are murdered here. Okay, so I was the one typically holding that sign. The other ladies, my wife, my daughters, others in the group were holding the other signs. I would hold up the one sign. Babies are murdered here. We needed something of, you know, a little jalapeno, a little
the jalapeno
direct
sign.
Message to the crowd, so to speak. And so I remember one young man came up to me. He was a little bothered by everything. I said, what's bothering you? He said, well, the signs are bothering me. I said, well, is it all the signs that are bothering you? He said, no, it's not all the signs that are bothering you. It's one particular sign that bothers me. I said, would it be this one? It was the one I was holding. He said, yeah, it's that one. And so I think the reason I'm trying to understand the reason why this particular sign was so bothersome. And I think it's because some statements are just too truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam, I want you to imagine that you're standing in the Emperor's New Clothes procession. You know the Emperor's New Clothes story? Are you aware of that? Where the Emperor...
I do. I am.
Has no clothes. Okay. So you're standing there in the crowd as the emperor makes this procession. And some little kid shows up and he just says, hey, the dude's nude. Now, some statements are just too truthful. You know, they just break through the ice and they just state the way things are. And I think that's what happens with the statement, babies are murdered here. Well, the pro-life film was yanked by Amazon Prime.
And they claim it was because of a negative response to the film from customers. But actually, when you investigate further, according to reviews from the actual Amazon Prime users, totally contradict the Amazon claim, because the film had received 344 reviewers. 89% of them gave it 5 stars. That's pretty high, okay. Averaging 4.7 stars among all reviewers. So pretty much Amazon lied through their teeth. They obviously disagreed with the biblical worldview, the pro-life worldview of the Babies Are Still Murdered Here documentary that came out in the fall of last year and didn't even make it a full year until they yanked it.
Well, this article from Follow also presents the, this is from Christian Post. Christian Post did the article how this particular documentary was pulled from Amazon Prime, and also made the point that Amazon Prime has not been very kind towards a Catholic psychologist who apparently
was writing books that was somewhat anti-LGBT. Amazon barred conservative organizations, including Alliance Defending Freedom and the Family Research Council, from the Amazon Smile program. And by the way, they barred us as well. We were part of the 70 families or the 70 organizations, family organizations that were barred from Amazon Smile. I don't think they even let us join Amazon Frown program either, for that matter.
And for those that don't know, Amazon Smile, the way it works is a percentage of the proceeds of the items that you purchase on Amazon can be directed to an organization of your choice. There's not any additional markup on the item that you buy, whether it be a Christian book or a drill that you want sent to your home. But a percentage of the proceeds, some small percentage, but it all adds up, goes to Generations or Family Research Council or Alliance Defending Freedom. And because the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is radically leftist, hates God, listed any organization that affirms a biblical perspective on marriage and family as some kind of hate group comparable in their mind's eye to the KKK, that's what triggered Amazon to pull the rug out from the 70 groups, including Generations, from getting this money that people wanted to donate to that these specific charities.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't realize this, but Capitol Hill did a hearing with Amazon last month. This would have been in July. Amazon's relationship with the SPLC was brought up, actually. Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, he's a Republican from Florida, he told Jeff Bezos that Amazon allows the SPLC to, quote, dictate who can receive donations on your Amazon Smile platform. And Matt was referring to Generations and 69 other organizations. Well, Gaetz also asked why Amazon would rely on a group that seems to be so out of step and seems to take mainstream Christian doctrine and label it as hate to help determine which charities are extremist organizations. Bezos acknowledged in that exchange that this is an imperfect system, but thus far, nothing has happened as far as favoring the 70 groups, which, by the way, include Family Research Institute, Generations American Vision, Liberty Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Research Council, American Family Association, D. James Kennedy Ministries, Probe Ministries, and Faith to Action. Adam, these are your friends. This is pretty much the list of your friends, I think.
They are. I've interviewed most of the people in those groups over the years many times.
Yeah. Well, friends, Amazon, Google, and Facebook are the three most powerful entities on the web today, and these are giants. Literally, we are little teeny-weeny Davids. We are 0.00000001% the size of these gigantic organizations that control the web and control the exchange of products and services in the American economy today. So we are almost nobody. Now, as it turns out, we do trust in the Lord our God, so that's going to be very helpful in days like these, where we're standing against the Red Sea and all we have is this little stick. Michael Brown has been banned on Google's YouTube. True News was banned earlier this year from YouTube. Facebook banned Robert Gagnon, professor of theology at Houston Baptist University and Theological Seminary. Facebook also banned Franklin Graham for at least a day or two. This would have been a year or two ago. And these are the largest organizations, friends. The largest organizations in the world right now would be organizations like Amazon, Google, and Facebook, and they control the game. And we are the nobodies. So, friends, we encourage you to pray for us. Obviously, the religion of tolerance is intolerant of Jesus. We tolerate certain sexual aberrations, is what they say, but we just don't tolerate people who are intolerant of that which is sinful, as defined by, well, God and God's word. So that's the position taken by Amazon, Google, and Facebook. It's a religion of tolerance that tolerates that which is evil and does not tolerate that which is good. And they certainly would not tolerate anybody who would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. That would be completely intolerant in the minds of those who are intolerant of Jesus. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Calling all fathers, young men, and church leaders. This September 28th to October 2nd, join other Christian brothers on the eastern plains of Colorado at the home of Kevin Swanson for a time of spiritual fellowship and growth. You'll experience 5 days of rich teaching, warm fellowship, extended times of prayer, and meals abundant in good food and edifying conversation. Our theme for this year focuses on being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 2020 has clearly revealed the shaky foundations many in our society are building their lives upon. Foundations of fear, anxiety, suspicion, accusation, anger, and violence. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us that Christ's resurrection gives us a solid foundation for remaining steadfast and brings purpose and meaning to our labors for the Lord. Join us this September as we gather for a time of spiritual strengthening and refreshment. You can register online today and save with our early bird pricing when you go to generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus with you, trying to identify Jeff Bezos' religion. What is the Facebook zeitgeist? What is this Amazon zeitgeist? What is the religion that is going after the Christian faith as adamantly as they possibly can? What is this tolerance? What is the post-Christian religion? That's the question I want to ask. And I think this Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center survey will help us to understand a little more of what this religion is all about. What we're dealing with is not Islam, and it is not Buddhism. What is this modern religion? It's obviously not Christianity. They hate Christ. They hate the Bible. They hate God, the God of the Bible. So who are these people? Is it just atheism? No, it's not just atheism. It is what I would like to refer to as the PCR, the post-Christian religion. PCR. That's what it is. That's what Jeff Bezos is. He belongs to the PCR. And increasing numbers of Americans do. Listen to this from Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center. The poll study found 63% of Americans are pluralistic, which means what? Which means it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something. Okay, so that's what they discovered. 63% of Americans are pluralistic, which means relativistic. The same study found that 48% of U.S. adults believe that a person who is generally good or does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven, and only 33% of Americans affirmed the statement, when you die, you will go to heaven only because you have confessed your sins and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's only a third of Americans now believe that. The other two-thirds do not believe it. A full 54% of Americans believe they are going to heaven when they die.
Yeah, in addition, slightly over half of Christian respondents said they believe someone can attain salvation by, quote, being or doing good, end quote, a figure that includes 46% of Pentecostals, 44% of mainline Protestants, 41% of evangelicals, that's just horrifying to me, and 70% of Catholics. In addition to the viewpoint that eternal salvation can be earned, survey results show that 58% of Americans believe that no absolute moral truth exists, and that the basis of truth are factors or sources other than God. 77% said that right and wrong is determined by factors other than the Bible, and 59% said that the Bible is not God's authoritative and true word. And finally, 69% said people are basically good. Kevin, this is a Polaroid snapshot of absolute spiritual confusion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is a good survey that presents what Americans believe. And America at one point was a Protestant nation. That is, the vast majority of Americans did not attend Catholic churches. They were not Muslim. They were not atheists. The vast majority of Americans would have referred to themselves as Protestants, those that had some connection with the Protestant Reformation. And yet there's been significant shifts going on in America over the last 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 years. Of course, modernism had its influence in the first part of the 20th century. And this is probably the biggest shift in Western thinking, that is, that the American religion is now made up of relativism. And this is what I refer to as the PCR, the post-Christian religion. The zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, is relativistic. And we hear this in the way that people talk. They end with a question mark in their voice. I feel this. I feel that. I feel like it may be this. I feel like it may be that. That's a relativist speaking. And as, of course, Christians pick up on the liturgy of the relativists, they begin to think and act like relativists too. So we have to be cautious that we don't give in to this, I feel like this or I feel like that, and pull out this relativistic way of thinking. But that's the zeitgeist. That's the spirit of the age. That's the flow of the gigantic river of culture that is picking up everything and moving it forcefully towards the Niagara Falls. This is what a zeitgeist is. The zeitgeist is relativistic. What you believe doesn't matter. That's what 63% of Americans think. 58% of Americans say there's no absolutes. 77% say that right and wrong does not come from God or from God's word. That is, 77% of Americans say there is no absolute God who is the source of an absolute law. That means only 23% of Americans still believe that God speaks and God is to be believed in terms of his ethical revelation. So that's the metaphysics of it. The metaphysics of it, the epistemology of it, is relativistic, which means that Americans do not believe in truth. They do not believe there is an absolute truth that is to be believed, but all truths are sort of equal, but ultimately there is no truth and there is nothing to be believed, and so there is no such thing as a true proposition in a world of relativism. It is effectively a nihilism, that is, a meaninglessness about language, a meaninglessness about life, certainly a purposelessness about life. So that's the metaphysic. As far as the nature of man is concerned, 69% of Americans believe that man is basically good, but that doesn't mean anything because there is no standard by which we would measure what is right and wrong. There is no absolute standard by which we would determine what is good and what is evil. But still, 69% of Americans say that man is basically good, I guess because they want to feel like they're good. 63% of Americans believe that man can save himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much it. That's the American religion. That's the majority of Americans. Now, granted, there's still the 20-25% that believe that they are saved by God's grace. They're saved by God, who is our salvation, who comes and he sovereignly saves us because we cannot save ourselves. So this is the religion that dominates America. I don't call it Buddhism. I don't call it Islam. I don't even call it humanism. It's kind of a mix of humanism, but ultimately more nihilism, relativism, and meaninglessness that constitutes the belief system of 70% of Americans.
Yeah, there are a couple scriptures that come to mind. One is Psalm 25, verse 5, that says, God, guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. We need to be like a ship. We need to be anchored. And when we're not anchored to the Word of God and to the Lord's truth, we will be tossed about by the sea and the waves. And I am also reminded, Kevin, of what we read about in Ephesians in terms of putting on the armor of God. And in Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That is a key component in our armor. It's one of the absolute essentials. To think that there are this many folks in Christendom in America today who think they can go to heaven based upon being or doing good, 46% of Pentecostals, 44% of mainline Protestants, 41% of evangelicals, and 70% of Catholics. I mean, the numbers there for the Pentecostals, the Protestants, and the evangelicals should be zero. But if anything, they should be in the single digit. To think that they're almost 50% is horrifying, and it underscores the absolute imperative for us as fathers to teach the truth to our children, to pass the baton of faith to the next generation, and for those in leadership in churches as pastors or elders to teach the whole counsel of God and not sugarcoat it. We don't need any more Joel Osteen cotton candy theology.
You know, I think, Adam, that this this waffling on truth amongst the Protestants, the evangelicals, ultimately is rooted in the fact that they are already very much connected to a relativistic way of looking at truth that doesn't really matter. The differences between the quote-unquote truth value or the truth proposition that is stated by this denomination versus that denomination makes no difference whatsoever because truth is relative. So that seems to be, again, the zeitgeist that is working in the minds of many of our young people today. They don't care about doctrine. They don't care about truth value because there is no such thing as truth value. There is nothing better about the Protestant doctrine than the Catholic doctrine. Yeah, I mean, back in the 1600s, 100% of Catholics believed officially that you were saved by works, that you were justified, accepted as righteous in the sight of God, and received into heaven on the basis of merit. And 0% of Protestants believed that you were justified by works. 100% of Protestants believe that you were justified by faith alone, apart from works. And works is an outgrowth of new life and the attendant regenerating power of the Holy Spirit working within us. So that was, you know, it was a 100-0 in 1600. But now you fast forward and you see that some 45% of Protestants or evangelicals actually are thinking like Catholics. And it turns out about 30% of Catholics must be thinking like Protestants. So the difference between Protestants and Catholics is only 26% now. The difference used to be that Protestants believe you were
really
justified by
point.
Faith alone, apart from works.
Yeah.
And it was a 0 to 100. Now it's, what, 50 to 73, roughly, or a 26% difference, not a 100% difference. Everything's sort of smudged today. And I think you're right. It's because there is such little teaching going on in Christian churches. There is such little rooting and grounding in the foundations of faith in our Protestant, our evangelical churches today, and that is a shame.
Well, I mean, the big things that people are looking for are, is there a vibrant Sunday school class or a good youth group with a rock band or something? I mean, they're not looking at what does this church actually believe? What are its essential core beliefs? Do they believe in the Bible? Do they believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God? If you don't even look to that and you look at your felt needs being met first, then you're going to have a pastor that mirrors that and talks about felt needs and doesn't teach verse by verse through any given book, but skips around and uses a verse here, a verse there, and sprinkles in a poem and 3 points that a good self-help guru could have delivered.
I also would encourage fathers to teach their children a basic catechism. There's the London Baptist Catechism. There is the Westminster Shorter Catechism. My father taught us the Westminster Shorter Catechism in, I'm going to say, 1976. I would have been 12 years old at the time. I still remember the doctrine of justification by faith. Justification is an act of God's free grace whereby we are forgiven of our sins, received as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. There you go. That's what am I?
Wow.
That's 47 years later, Adam. I'm still reciting the same catechism question. But see, again,
let's
be sure we're teaching our children, we're rooting and grounding our children in biblical faith. And by the way, not just the catechisms, but the proof verses as well, so that they understand what the Apostle Paul was saying in Romans 3, Galatians 3 and 4 and such. And they need to know the relationship of justification, sanctification, and adoption, that there is a distinct but not separate relationship between justification and sanctification. And friends, we need to give our children a rooting and grounding in the faith such that they understand what is it that constitutes our justification? What is it that constitutes our reception to God and our forgiveness of sins? It is by faith. It is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ where we are justified. We are forgiven of our sins, received as righteous in the sight of God. So these are the sorts of doctrines we need to be sharing with our children. And let's be sure we're not giving way to the zeitgeist of nihilism, the glorification of meaninglessness, purposelessness, and insanity that so constitutes the post-Christian religion of our day.
Kevin, I want to get a little personal with you. Tell me about the process, the nitty-gritty with your father catechizing you and your siblings. Was there a time range where he hoped and had a goal of your ability to master the entire shorter catechism? How often did you go over it? And did you memorize an attendant scripture for each one of those answers?
Well, we would memorize scripture at the same time we memorized the catechisms. He'd first of all put us through the entire catechism one question at a time. And then after about a year or two of that, every Sunday he would catechize us through an entire page, or constitute about six or seven questions, such that we would have to go through six to seven questions at the same time. So he wanted to be sure that by the end of it, we had memorized all 107 questions of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And that was very fruitful for me. Now, again, I would say it took at least 3 years before I had gone through the entire catechism, say twice, one question at a time, and then on a weekly basis, reviewing the six or seven questions such that we were able to pretty much get all 107 questions down by the time we were, I'm going to say, 16 years of age.
So the goal was every day was a new question and answer that you would go over to the point where you had memorized it?
Yeah, that's right.
I see.
That's right. And friends,
wow.
Again, I think this is essential for the rooting and grounding of our children in the faith. And let's go over these things line upon line, precept upon precept, over and over again. Let's be sure that we're rooting and grounding our children in the faith, and help them to memorize Romans chapter 3. Help them to memorize Romans chapter 6. Help them to see the relationship of faith and works. Help them to see the relationship of justification and sanctification by reading through Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And help them to see the relationship of sanctification and adoption as we see it played out in Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4. So just keep going over these texts with your kids such that they understand the differences between Catholicism and a Protestant faith. I think what happens with natural man is natural man doesn't like the notion of sin. So they come up with the solution. There's no absolute basis for right and wrong, and God cannot possibly speak with authority in his word. And so there's an increasing ignoring of the law of God. And then they're too proud to be called sinners. And so what happens? But 70% of Americans say that man is basically good. Which, by the way, is very dangerous to come to that conclusion.
Yes.
Because at that point, they're far too proud to rely on God to save them from their sins. And so they say that they can save themselves by their own good works. And that, my friends, is a recipe for disaster. That is a recipe for denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a recipe for hellfire, is what that is.
And for cultural societal meltdown.
Yeah, and that's precisely what we're seeing around us. Well, it's our responsibility, friends, to teach our children God's word. And let me encourage you to start with, of course, God's word. Don't start with the catechisms. Start with God's word, first and foremost. And that's why we've got our family Bible study guides available at our website. I encourage you to the Gospel of John. We're working through that right now as a family. We're in chapter 18 out of the 21 chapters as we're working through J.C. Ryle's expository notes on the Gospel of John, which is just released by the Generations Ministry. I grabbed about five copies of that, and we go through that every evening, myself, my wife, and my children, and we've been through about 17 chapters thus far. So I'd encourage you to bring your children through the Gospels and spend some time there. Don't just swiftly rush through the whole Bible without digging in, without getting some depth out of it. Distance is okay, but you need some depth, and that's why we present our family Bible study guides as essential elements of your family discipleship program in your family. I'd encourage you to the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John, both available at our website. Also, we have Genesis, Psalms, and Proverbs available as well at the generations.org website. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.